face to the world, okay? The court clerk has rules. The attorney, the opposing attorneys have a rule system they believe in. When I structure my paperwork, you can hardly tell the difference between it and what an attorney would do, excepting for certain key things, like I'm one of the people, okay? I make that claim. So that it's very subtle what I do, but it's legally solid. And on the other hand, the attorney reads it, it makes sense to him. It's in the form he's accustomed to. This is all part of a sales job on him, okay? Because if you don't do that, they're just going to say, you're crazy, okay? And even if you're right, you're crazy. Okay, I'm trapped in this thing. Here's the cover page of a habeas corpus that somebody did. Nice big letters. I made a short presentation on purpose. Has nice big letters on it. Doesn't conform at all to the normal form of the rules of court. Okay? I can tell you that no matter how right she is, people looked at that and said, this is crap. The judges look at it. The attorneys look at it. Okay? So don't do that. Don't call on the powers of Yahweh. Okay? You've seen it in the paperwork.
That's right.
Look, you know, I believe in God. I think, you know, God does us a lot of favors a lot of times. I see it in my life that events unfold where there was this mysterious hand of destiny that somehow protected me or whatever. I've seen that actually happen. But if you look at the Bible, and I'm not big on the Bible because I never study it, but I do know a couple things about it. And one of the claims of the Bible is that this is Satan's world. And God's letting him have this as his playground until that Armageddon shows up. Okay? So, if you're going to be dealing with these secular people who are ungodly or Satanistic in their approach or whatever they are, by all means, deal with them on their terms. Because God has informed us in the Bible that He's holding back. He's letting this guy have his show. Alright, so I know that when I put in all references to God and all references to the Bible and my God-given rights and so forth, that's falling on deaf ears. That's not does not make a good show for Satan. So, and there's a lot of good people there who were trained under Satan's rules. But they have a good heart. So you've got to give them good paperwork, good arguments that they understand. Remember, I'll tell you, one of the most glorious moments that I've experienced was one time this woman went down to court to file a paper. It was a Friday morning. She was there from the moment they opened until noon trying to get them to file papers. She actually created her own order. Sovereign order, ordering the clerk to file a paper, she got absolutely nowhere. Okay? But she followed the first rule, which was to put on a good show. She was friendly to the clerk. She had long-term relations with the clerk over the many months that this lawsuit was going, you know. So she had a good rapport. Very important to have good rapport. And anyway, but she got nowhere with the clerk. The clerk said, no, look, if you want me to file this, she says, I don't think I have to file it. But if you are right that I have to file it, you get your remedy is to the appellate court. You go to the appellate court, you get an order, and that they will order me to file the paper. And this lady said, no, I'm giving you the order. I'm in the United States District Court. This is the person in suit of the sovereign. I'm the sovereign. You have to accept the order. Well, I got nowhere, okay? So at noontime, she went home, and she called me on the phone wondering what to do, and we chatted about it and so forth. And we theorized, you know how that goes. The next morning, Saturday morning, she got the mail, and there was a letter from the clerk. The clerk wrote her a letter inviting her to bring the paper down to sign it. Because Friday afternoon, after she had left, the clerk researched the question, found the specific code authorizing her to file it. And the code specifically was Title 28, Section 1361. I hope I'm remembering that correctly. And this is the section, Title 28, Section 1361. 1361. So section 1361 says this. Not word for word, I'm paraphrasing. But it says that the United States District Court has original jurisdiction in a mandamus requiring a public employee to perform a duty owed to the plaintiff. What happened to the defendant? It's just the plaintiff. Boy, was that a revelation for me, because it shows right there. You see, the sovereign, the plaintiff, is the owner of the court. The court is his staff. If there's a government employee who is being borrowed by the court, doing duty in your court, he's in your jurisdiction. You do have jurisdiction over that one. You can order them to file it or whatever. In contrast, the defendant is an outsider. He's outside your castle. You've dragged him in, but he has no jurisdiction over your people. So in the federal system, the defendant has to go to the appellate court, which can then order the lower court to do whatever. Okay? Yes.
Question. Is that why they write up down as defendants?
As defendants?
Everything is a defendant.
Well, of course.
You're all defendants.
Well, if you're being accused, of course.
Yeah.
That isn't why, but that's just how these things are organized, okay? So
they don't have to accept the defendant's paperwork.
No, they
that's
do. Well, that's right. They don't have to. And so you have to go to the appellate court and get them to order it. However, defendant or not, you can always ask them to file on demand.
I know that.
Yeah. Everybody familiar with, anybody here who does not know what file on demand means? Okay. What it is that you go up to the clerk, and the clerk hassles you, and he says, no, this isn't right, and so forth. Now, normally I follow it. I say, okay, thank you. I fix it, you know, and I come back later. But sometimes it might involve rights, or it might involve timeliness. Maybe, you know, you're going to be late if you don't get it filed. That can happen. So whenever the clerk rejects your paperwork because of some rule, understand that what she's doing is she's following instructions from the power structure. The judges create the rules. And if she breaks those rules, she'll get in trouble. Okay? So, if you tell the clerk, yeah, I understand all that, but file on demand. What she will then do is reach under her table, pull out a little rubber stamp, stamp your paper, and it'll say, filed on demand. Then what happens is the judge gets this paper, he sees the file on demand mark, he knows that the gig is up, he knows that the clerk tried to do her job, he won't get mad at the clerk, and you file it. Now, it's up to the judge to reject your paperwork. But of course, if you're sovereign, you can deal with that.
What about when they reject it and send it back and unfile it?
If they reject it?
Well, we have them send it back and just unfile it. They've unfiled it.
Well, they can't do that.
I know they can't do
Yeah,
that.
No, they can't do that. Okay?
They do it all the time.
I know they do. Well, you just send it. Now, I know that some people have had success when they were up against the system. They couldn't, somehow, you know, they're up a wall, okay? What they would do is they would send it by registered mail. And when they got it, it stuck. Yes?
That's why we do it. His case, you send it by registered mail, file on demand. They have to file it.
Well, I don't, like I say, I don't know the specific rules for this, but I do know as an overall national pattern from what I've seen, when you're registered in those tough situations, but you see, if you have that kind of a problem with them, I suspect what happened is that they hate you.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not dealing with procedure anymore. You're dealing with personalities. And you need to correct that, because you're violating the first rule, which is you've got to have a good show, and you haven't put on a good show. Okay? I mean, that's basically the problem. And you need to do some salesmanship here. Yes, sir?
So you're saying that if they hate you, that's down to you to fix?
Yeah.
To correct whatever you're
Absolutely.
Doing.
You're the salesman for your own case.
Back on your side?
You're the salesman for your own case. If they're giving you a hard time, it's time to ask yourself why. Now, if you've put their personal status at stake, like they might lose something from their paycheck, or they might get fired for doing something, that's a different story, but you gotta figure that out. But basically, what you need to do is you need to do a sales job. They see you. I'll tell you what I did one time. The very first time I got involved with this business of issuing an order to the court on my own signature. There was a case going. I went up to the municipal court clerk. It was a small court, okay? It was actually in Redwood City, okay? Relatively small court. I went to Redwood City, and I asked to see the clerk of the court. They brought out their supervisor, the top one of that in that installation. And I was dressed like an attorney. I looked like an attorney, every bit. I had pinstripe suit, proper tie, you know, vest. I really looked like an attorney.
No beard.
No beard. That's right. And I went up to there, and like I said, I requested to see you. So she came out, and I said, I introduced myself. I said, I'm working with this case. And the reason I'm talking to you is I said, we're going to do some really strange things on this case. And I just didn't want you to think you had a bunch of crazies out here. So just as a courtesy, I wanted to let you know that there's something coming down the pike. And I just want you to be prepared for it, you know. It's just a little consideration. So when my case showed up, and I'm issuing orders and filing, you know, stuff, it was no big deal. Okay, a couple times she had to come out to approve the paperwork. You know, the lower clerks didn't understand it. From their point of view, she broke the rules. In fact, she was better trained and she understood, but there was zero animosity between us. We were very friendly. I told her my parking joke, you know. And believe me, that it makes a difference. So, yeah, if you're having a hard time filing papers, you need to rework it. Now, I understand that sometimes that, you see, every formal system has behind it an informal system. And the judges do talk to the clerks, okay? They do talk to the sheriffs. There's communication back there that's informal, down at the bar somewhere. They talk about cases. Understand that. When you have everybody at the bar saying, yeah, we know him, he's a pretty good guy. We like him, something. Just unbelievable how that greases the wheels for you. The first thing is have an attitude, a good attitude, friendly. They're just doing their jobs. I know that there are some people out to crucify you. At least pretend, okay? I had a judge, an attorney one time screaming at me so loud in the Orange County Superior Court. Anybody been in that Superior Court building? It's a big building, you know. The halls are like, 300 feet long, something like that, length of a football field. And he was screaming at me so loud, I heard the echoes bounce off the end. Okay? Made me feel good. But, you know, that... Yeah, it was an encore, automatic encore. But anyway, but I stayed friendly with him. You know, yeah, okay, you know. But he, for some reason, didn't like my motions. He was the guy, by the way, that I was in chambers with one time, and the court looked at my paperwork, and he said, who wrote this for you? I said, nobody. He said, you did this yourself? I said, yes. He said, well, where did you learn this? You know, because I'm, like I said, I write my papers like an attorney does. And I pointed to the evil attorney across the way, and I said, I had the finest instructor in the world. And by the way, he was. He pulled every dirty trick you can imagine. I probably had every possible permutation of motions and things going on because of this guy. And I'll tell you, he kept me really, really up late a lot. But boy, did I learn. And it's great having it. If you ever get an adversary, it can really be beneficial for you, believe it or not, even though you're in a lot of pain at the time. So anyway, I'm telling you, be friendly toward the court personnel. It's so important, and cops and everyone else. Hi.
We belong to a group and we're studying all this together, and I know when we have our next group meeting, they're going to say, oh, we want a copy of the tape. So do we refer them to you for the CD?
Well, actually, I'll mail out a bunch of CDs to all of you. You're welcome to make copies. Sure, I don't copyright any of my stuff. I'm trying to set a different standard on these meetings. I think that when we have an all-day seminar, you should be comfortable, well-fed, I hope you are, that whatever materials are offered, you get, it's included as the price. I never believed in this you know, come in and nickel and diming you, okay? So you're going to get the full package. If you want extra DVDs of this meeting, you can get Dennis Whipple's address and just order it from him direct. That's how he makes his living, is doing this stuff. He does a good job. He's all over the place. Hopefully he brought a stack of business cards so that you can all, you know. Yes, sir.
Also on the web, Orange County Freedom Forum website, will tell you how to get a hold of Dennis to be able to get.
Okay, and what is the website?
It's
Slow down. Start over.
Slow down.
I don't think everybody writes as fast as you talk.
It's very slow here.
Use that mic there.
Okay.
Take it real slow.
All right.
http://. Freedom Forum.
Freedom. Give them time to write it. The word freedom.
Freedom Forum.
Forum.
OC. Dot tripod. Dot com.
Right.
Yeah, slow down.
Dot com.
/ Freedom Forum OC again. /Freedom Forum OC. /.
All right.
Can you go over that one more time?
Now, I got a suggestion.
Or go to Google.
As you say it, I want you to write it yourself.
Okay.
People will be able to keep up with you that way.
Okay.
By the way, man,
and some of us are hard to hear.
Okay.
http://
/ after the colon.
Freedom.
I know.
Forum.
But he doesn't know.
OC. Dot tripod.
Dot tripod.
Dot com.
Dot com.
Slash.
Forward slash.
Freedom Forum.
Freedom Forum.
OC.
OC. That should get you to the website.
That's
and that has. That has Dennis's address all on it as well. I guess I can put it up on my website too.
There you go.
You all know my website, 1215.org?
Yeah.
Okay, 1215.org.
Don't make the Magna Carta, right?
Yep. That's the year of the Magna Carta, 1215. Okay, let's see now. Where are we here? All right, now, court of record. What is a court of record? Well, a court of record has 5 requirements. The 5th one is optional. But it keeps a record of the proceedings. Okay. What is a record of the proceedings? Let me explain what a record is. A record, a court record, is very, very simple and sparse. All it is what the issue was to be decided, and what the decision was that was made. That's it. That is the actual court record. Everything else is supplemental. But the true court record is the issue to be decided and the decision that was made without the detail. Okay? So a court of record keeps a record of the proceedings, and that's what it is. The 4th point, it has the power to fine or imprison for contempt. Points 1 and 4 you will find in the Black's Law Dictionary 5th edition. Okay? Now, I like Black's Law Dictionary 5th edition. I also like Black's Law Dictionary 4th edition. The 4th edition has the real law. The 5th edition has the dictionary modified in order to express policy, power structure policy. The 5th edition is what the power structure wants the attorneys to know. The 4th edition has the real law in it. This is why I have 2 dictionaries, because I like to know what the enemy knows or doesn't know. So when I put in my papers that I have a court of record, I know that the attorneys know that points 1 and 4 apply. Okay? I also know that the attorneys do not know about the other 3 points. So it generally has a seal. That's number 5. That's optional. The 3rd one, proceeding according to the common law. That means no statutes. Okay? That means no equity.
Number three,
right.
Proceedings according to the common law.
Right. And you'll get this on the CD that I'll mail to you. It's proceeding according to the common law. Oh, by the way, everything I've shown you is on the website so far.
You don't have to wait for the CD.
No, you don't. If you don't have to wait for the CD, you can go to 1215.org and anytime you want on the internet. 1215.org. It's proceeding according to common law. That means no statute. That means no vehicle code, no penal code, no government code. Not for you. For them, maybe, but not you. Doesn't apply to you. There's no health and welfare institutions code. Yes?
If Black 4 says definition amounts to something, Black 7 says the definition is different, and you quote Black 4 and they quote Black 7, where does what rest?
Well, that just tells you their policy. You see, law does not change. Okay. Precedent holds. And one of the nice things about the fourth edition is that it cites cases to support the definitions. See, the dictionary itself is not, it's some authority, but it's weak compared to case law. It's weak compared to black letter law. But it's useful, you know, it gives you an idea. But they put the cases in. The beautiful part about the seventh edition, which the attorneys really, really hated, and that's why the sixth edition continues to be published, or maybe they came out with the eighth now, and that is that the seventh, they thought it would be a grand idea to strip out all the case law. So you get a definition, but no case law. I think I got my versions right. One of those versions, they stripped it out, and it didn't sell well. A lot of attorneys were very much offended by the fact that there was no case law included in the definitions. But it's all part of trying to keep them in the dark so the power structure can have more flexibility. But anyhow, you see, there's no statutes in common law. Now, how can we make this work? Well, you see, if you look at the Constitution of California, I'm talking about the 1879 Constitution. That's the one that was never approved by Congress, but was voted in by the citizens of the United States. The Constitution, the 1879 Constitution, requires or defines all the courts in California as courts of record. Well, that means all the courts are supposed to be proceeding according to the common law. So, this is why they I'll get into that in a moment. But you see, if you're proceeding according to the common law, there are no statutes. So how do they have all these statutes and lay them on you? Well, I'll tell you that secret in a moment. But I have to finish up this court of record. The last requirement is the real humdinger, the doozy. Number two, the tribunal is independent of the magistrate. The tribunal is the one who does the judging. The magistrate is the public officer on the payroll. Anytime you see a judge making a decision, you are not in a court of record. Only the tribunal can make decisions. The judge uses his discretion. You're not in a court of record then, if you allow it. You are in what's called a nisi prius court, or in other words, a court that exists because you failed to object. There were no prior objections, therefore you have a nisi prius court. And sure, you can be subject to anything the judge says if you don't argue, don't object. Yes?
So if it's not mentioned, you have to mention it
up front.
Failure to object means you agree.
But if it's not brought up as a subject, you object to it. You have to bring it up as a subject.
Well, if you see them doing it, they may not have brought it up with words, but if they bring it up with actions, you know, you got to object. Failure to object means you agree. Yes?
In fact, should you not object to anything and everything you can to secure even more?
Well, basically, yeah, you can make a general objection. It's like one guy, he was in court, and the judge said to him, yeah, I know, you object to everything. Well, thank you. He got the acknowledgement. He didn't need to object anymore. No? Hey, you're on your own trip, but it's all reversible now, see? Because the judge said he understood. The judge thought he was being sarcastic, but you know what? Emotions don't show through on the transcripts.
Anybody wants to talk, out and go to the microphone?
Well, sure.
Mic
yeah, we have a microphone here, so if you want to say something, Great, or we can transport it to you. It's got some links to the court there. Anyhow, the tribunal is independent of the magistrate. No decisions are allowed. That's why it is when a judge makes a decision, since I'm the sovereign of the court, you know, the court's the person in suit of the sovereign. Here I am. I own the court. I hire the judge to work for me. It's a court of record. He has no discretion. He cannot make any decisions. Furthermore, whatever he does, if you go to Blackstone's commentaries, in Blackstone's commentaries, the judge is the mirror of the sovereign. Make a decision unless he knows that's how the sovereign's going to decide. He has to be the sovereign's mirror. Okay, well anyway, that's that's what a court of record is. So we operate in a court of record. Understand that if you're the defendant, you're not the sovereign. All this stuff I'm talking about that sovereigns do, you cannot do as a defendant. Okay? You're in a case, you're a defendant, don't you dare issue any orders. Because you will be in contempt of court. That will be a misdemeanor. You will be subject to whatever they put on you. Okay? So, if you are find yourself to be a defendant, and you want to exercise these rights and powers, you're first to convert yourself out of the status of defendant into the plaintiff. And that's what a counterclaim does for you. The foundation of a counterclaim is jurisdiction. You are challenging jurisdiction. Under the rules of equity as well as the rules of in law are that any time jurisdiction is challenged, the plaintiff, the burden of proof falls on the plaintiff to provide the proof that he has the jurisdiction. Jurisdiction cannot be assumed. Okay? So, you do a counterclaim, you say, where's the jurisdiction? You have no jurisdiction, you can put in whatever you want in your counterclaim, and you ask for it, and if they have no jurisdiction, obviously you've been injured. Your rights have been taken from you. And if you have an injury, you claim damages for that exceeding the jurisdiction. Okay? Back again, if the government violates your rights, what do? You say, hey, you guys, it's a chain of events. You guys exceeded your jurisdiction, so the consequence of that, the next link in the chain is that I was injured, and the next link in the chain is I want damages for my injury. All right, so that's a court of record. Enough of that. You now know. I hope. A brief word about habeas corpus. By my research, and there are people who have argued with me somewhat half successfully, so, but nevertheless, my position is that the sovereign is always, without exception, always subject to his own court. Stand by for a tape break.
Three reasons why someone has a beard.
Yeah, three reasons. Ego, concerned about self-appearance. Okay, that's one reason. Could be any combination of reasons, by the way. Second reason is he's either in reality or psychologically hiding. And then there's my reason, which is I'm flat out lazy. That's my reason.
You still trim your mustache, though.
I got to keep eating.
Got to eat.
Got to eat. Right, so I don't want anything getting in the way between me and my food. All right. So, brief thing about habeas corpus. Yeah. The sovereign is subject to his own court. That means, I believe like during the coronation ceremonies, when the king or queen is conducted up to the throne, he's accompanied by a person who represents St. Andrew, and he has the sword drawn and in his right hand, which signifies symbolically to the king that if the king misbehaves in office, even though he's a sovereign, he can be decapitated, okay, with the sword. That's supposed to symbolically say, you know, there are limits, even though he's the do-all and be-all, he's not the do-all and be-all. And so he's subject to his own court. And there have been stories about kings who have misbehaved, and the judge came to the king and presented a fictitious case to him and said, here's what the person did, what should be the judgment in this case? And the king said that what it was to be, and then that's what they did to the king. And the story I remember, they executed him. So the king is subject to his own court. And